Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise the Lord, praise God. Well, this morning, I continue in our series, Reconnecting with Christ. And I want to share with you this morning, I have a thing that the staff, where is all my staff, all of you? They're always laughing at me because I will not come in the pulpit without printing my notes, good old style, because I don't trust technology. Now, I used this morning, I reviewed, and then just as I was about to get up here, can you see what happened? It went into optimizing, and I'm like, you're going to optimize right now? Devil, you're a liar, because I got notes. Shoo, glory. Now, I could preach it without, but it helps us to stay on time when I do. Praise God. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're at. We're reconnecting with the Holy Spirit. This is our reconnecting series, and I continue now in the passage. This week, we had a tremendous week of prayer. Last week, on outdoors, we had just an exciting time. Those that were online last week, we were outdoors. God gave us good weather. We went outdoors. We had an incredible time of celebration, of worship, of connecting, of food. How many enjoyed being outdoors last week? Praise God. Now, our outdoors is closed until, Lord willing, should the Lord tarry, around May or June of next year. So we're in-house from now on. But last week, I started outdoors with the Lord's Prayer. And online, I'm sorry you didn't get it. Some other time, I don't know how, because they've already heard it in here. And then throughout the week, we had our week of prayer. And in that week of prayer, from Tuesday to Friday, we just saw such tremendous power and presence of the Lord. And each night after night, people just showed up. People stayed online. I want to tell you, this is a church of prayer. This is a house of prayer. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And that's who we are, and that's what we want to continue to be. And on Tuesday night, this Tuesday, we go back on Zoom, so you can get your Zoom connect. If you don't have your connection, contact the church, and they'll send you the email, so you have the Zoom link. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Now, just for you to note, once a month, which is the second Tuesday of each month, we will be in-house for prayer, so we can touch and agree, we can anoint people and pray. That's once a month, only the second Tuesday. Every other Tuesday, we will be online, 7 p.m. It goes around 45, 50 minutes, and you're back to your business. Let's pray, because that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Now, today's message is Matthew 6, 19 to 24, and my title is this: Watch the Lure of Wealth. And watch false prosperity. Forgot the of there. Watch the lure of wealth and watch false prosperity. Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eat and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is healthy. Sorry, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actual darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one, verse 24, can serve two masters, for you will hate one and you will love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So I want us this morning to just take a look at this key passage. Now, I know traditionally, I grew up in church. Many of us grew up in church. Do you know, in the world, they can do every money management, money lore, money this. You can say money. Everyone's after money, gain money, obtain money, 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 money. And the world is built on that. But if you say money in church, I can't believe she preached the money passage. Why couldn't she just skip over that passage and go to another one that would bless me? We should, if you're going to talk about money, tell us how to get it, not... Matthew chapter 6 comes, verse 19 to 24, comes after all the passages we preached this week. And so I'm going to continue in the story that Jesus continued to tell and the words that Jesus encourages us with. Folks, society from ancient days and still now in this modern, more globally educated time, people have formulated the sad opinion that the person with the most money wins the game of life. It's often stated, the one who has the most toys win. That is a secular myth that is propagated out there. But that's not God's design, and that's not God's reality. He gave us all of this so we can use it and our lives will be comforted and comfortable and that we'd be content and happy. But he didn't give us so that we would think that we're the winner of life because we have it. I want you to listen to this snippet from a TED Talk. TED Talk, it's called Does Money Make You Mean? And those who don't know what TED Talks are, TED Talks is a secular speech forum that addresses issues of ethics, morality, and justice. And they have invited speakers usually who can only go about 15 to 20 minutes, and they have to share a power thought. Take a listen in. I've clipped it down from its 15 to about 4 minutes. Hear a bit of this TED Talk. Does money make you mean?
I want you to, for a moment, think about playing a game of Monopoly. Except in this game, that combination of skill, talent, and luck that help earn you success in games as in life has been rendered irrelevant because this game's been rigged and you've got the upper hand. You've got more money, more opportunities to move around the board, and more access to resources. And as you think about that experience, I want you to ask yourself, how might that experience of being a privileged player in a rigged game change the way that you think about yourself and regard that other player? What we've been finding across dozens of studies and thousands of participants across this country is that as a person's levels of wealth increase, their feelings of compassion and empathy go down. And their feelings of entitlement, of deservingness, and their ideology of self-interest increases. In surveys, we found that it's actually wealthier individuals who are more likely to moralize greed being good, and that the pursuit of self-interest is favorable and moral. We've even studied cars, not just any cars, but whether drivers of different kinds of cars are more or less inclined to break the law. In one of these studies, we looked at whether drivers would stop for a pedestrian that we had posed waiting across at a crosswalk. Now, in California, as you all know, because I'm sure we all do this, it's the law to stop for a pedestrian who's waiting to cross. So here's an example of how we did it. That's our Confederate off to the left posing as a pedestrian. He approaches as the red truck successfully stops. In typical California fashion, it's overtaken by the bus who almost runs our pedestrian over. Now, here's an example of a more expensive car, a Prius, driving through, and a BMW doing the same. So we did this for hundreds of vehicles on several days, just tracking who stops and who doesn't. What we found was that as the expensiveness of a car increased, the driver's tendencies to break the law increased as well. None of the cars in our least expensive car category broke the law. Close to 50% of the cars in our most expensive vehicle category broke the law. But what we're finding is that The wealthier you are, the more likely you are to pursue a vision of personal success, of achievement and accomplishment to the detriment of others around you. Now, inequality, economic inequality, is something we should all be concerned about, not just because of those at the bottom of the social hierarchy, but because individuals in groups with lots of economic inequality do worse. Not just the people at the bottom, everyone. There's a lot of really compelling research coming out from top labs all over the world showcasing the range of things that are undermined as economic inequality gets worse. Social mobility, things we really care about, physical health, social trust, all go down as inequality goes up. Similarly, negative things in social collectives and societies, things like obesity and violence, imprisonment and punishment, are exacerbated as economic inequality increases. We've been finding in our own laboratory research that small psychological interventions, small changes to people's values, small nudges in certain directions can restore levels of egalitarianism and empathy. For instance, reminding people of the benefits of cooperation or the advantages of community cause wealthier individuals to be just as egalitarian as poor people.
So that is a TED talk, and as I said, it's not a spiritual talk, but everything we need to know is already in the Word of God. And while he said psychologically we can help people move there, can I say spiritually that is the answer is that it's in the Word. An author, Paul Bain, says, "Wealth and fame are enslaving desires which hold you in their power by feeding on your fears for personal security and for acceptance in the world." And he continues, he says, "Do not listen to the voices that tell you that happiness is a result of accumulating money and notoriety. They are in opposition to the plans God has for you, and the pleasure and satisfaction you seek through them last for a fleeting moment and then disappear forever." So I want to go into the passage of Matthew chapter 6 today. And this passage, Jesus gives three comparatives. This is Jesus' words now as he's teaching. And he gives these contrasts, three contrasts. He contrasts between the two kinds of riches. He contrasts, he gives a warning about two kinds of hearts. And he gives a choice between two kinds of masters. This is Jesus walking among the people, and they're now hearing his teaching. And he's saying, there's two kinds of riches, there's two kinds of hearts, and there's two kinds of masters. And in the beginning portion of Matthew, he was teaching all about prayer. Remember last week, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then this week we went through all the prayer passages, fasting and prayer, and we broke down those verses. Now Jesus' concern in this portion is centered on where people are putting their trust. He's dealing with the audience there, but he's dealing with the audience here. Where are people putting their trust in these days? And even in that day, people were putting their trust in money and possessions and many material things. And Jesus' concern was that his children would know and understand the love, the protection, and the provision of God at all times, and would guard themselves from being centered around money, from centering their lives around things that seems to create worldly security and gives a false sense of what true wealth is and what true wealth should be. Because true wealth and true prosperity is not how much you have or what airplane you can buy. True wealth, it comes from the inner being, because many wealthy will commit suicide if you take out a penny from them, but many poor will push on because they trust Jesus has got to help me. Folks, nothing on this earth is secure or lasting. All things will age, all things will decay, all things will waste away. Only what we secure inside our spirits will last, and we've got to continue to worship the Lord and give him thanks for all his goodness and his mercy. That's why David writes many psalms that says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercies endures what? forever. So Christ in this passage is reminding us, center your life around him and around heaven. Center your lives around, we must center our lives around Christ and around heaven. People don't want to hear about heaven when they are being greedy. They only want to hear about heaven when they're close to death. Everything else in life is a commodity for a moment to be enjoyed in the context of this is what God has given me to use, but it's not what makes me wealthy or prosperous. I'm prosperous in Christ so that no matter what you take from me, I can still live. So Jesus contrasts two kinds of riches. Nowhere in the passage does Jesus say, let me clarify this. Nowhere in the passage does Jesus say, I desire that you be poor. In fact, he declared the poor will always be with us, but he teaches us all through it, take care of the poor. So nowhere does he desire for people to be poor because he's given enough wealth to the world that if distributed properly, we will be able to see everyone rise to higher levels. Do you realize there are billions and billions and billions and millions and billions that just floating sometimes in one pocket when others don't have a penny in theirs? Did God not provide for the world? Yes, he did. But the sinner greed says, I'll take it all. You can't have any. And we see that happening now. Someone just recently, I was contesting something and I said, they can't, I'm going to just say it. I said, they can't take away medical care and privatize it. When you privatize it, the rates go up and the rich get the best and the poor get nothing. And the person said, so what's wrong if I can get proper care and other people have to go to where they can get it for free? And I said, because if those people can't have what you can have, who made you God? See, we think so selfishly, let me move on. But earthly riches, we look to it, we value it. God blesses us that we would be blessed, but that we would bless. Remember that at Thanksgiving. Please remember that Thanksgiving when we fill up that lobby with boxes of stuff and none of your stale, dated, outdated food that you're trying to get out of your cupboard and figure nobody will know who brought that bag. Jesus will. Earthly riches, cars, jewelry, clothes, property, houses, buildings, furnishings, pleasures, fame, power, money, possession, anything that is good for earthly existence to make life a little bit more enjoyable, it's still corruptible. Hello? It's still corruptible. Earthly treasures, items that hold value, which will increase as others demand it. See, your value is only because somebody else demands it. And the spirit of greed can cause value to go way out. Do you know people will bid $1 billion on something stupid because they want to be the only one that could have it? Hello? Precious gems, stones, diamonds, metals, stocks, all of these influence people and it brings them to fame. That's what the world craves, but that's what will destroy each other. We are called by God to use what he has given us to live our lives and enrich our lives, but never to put ourselves in a place where we feel that we are now above life. And Jesus pointed out that while the world focuses on getting more and more and more, the believer should not join them in storing up only earthly treasures. The believer should see it as an ungodly pursuit and instead be a Christ follower and listen to the words of Christ in Matthew that he's teaching us so that we live our lives morally and spiritually in a manner to enrich others. The guy from TED Talk was not giving a Bible talk. He's giving a research talk about how people behave once they get there. Do you know why the poor one will not cross over the line? Can't afford the ticket. It's like, I got two tickets already. I can't afford to get another one. You know why the rich one will just run through? Pennies, I'll pay that if I have to. But what about the life? See, we measure it by what we have, not by who we should be. And so riches and treasures exist to bless us, but we must not take that and make it our God. Because there's wealth both on earth and in heaven, and it's the heavenly wealth that is lasting. So the commentator on this passage reminds us that it's very easy to covet earthly things. Why? Because materialism can be seen and touched and handled. See, no one can see the richness of your spirit, but they can see the little tangible things that you have. That is why we live, to show others what we've got. More people seek after material things because jealousy and greed are the dominant sins that corrupt society. Do you remember what happened in Acts chapter 4? They were moving in the power of the Spirit. They began to sell everything and share it amongst each other. And what crept up right away? Jealousy and greed. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to say, okay, everybody's flowing, everything's going good, but we still need to be one up on and on the others. So let's, on Barnabas, so let's sell everything, keep some, and pretend that we're the ones that did the best. Greed and jealousy, they spiral into attitudes that we don't recognize. I don't know if they recognized what they were doing. They were just so corrupt in their mind that they thought they were doing it for God. See, folks, material things are necessary for living, but the desire for having more than others creates a desperation to accumulate even what's not needed. Do you know what the biggest industry is becoming now? What do you see coming up everywhere, every community, every corner? Talk to me, somebody. What do you see coming up? Storage, store you, store see, store shoes, store. Everywhere you look, green storage, orange storage, yellow storage, pink storage, everybody getting another color, but come and see me because if you need to store, because we're storing, because we don't want to let anything go. How many people have gone back to storage to get the thing to bring back in your house? I confess, I'm such a sinner too. When I was living in Mississauga, I moved from a home after my mom died, and I didn't need the extra bedrooms, and so I downsized, moved in a condo. But I had such nice things, and I put them in storage. I paid storage for a year. Then I asked myself the question, what are you going to do with it? And so finally, I just opened up the storage, and I took everything out and asked folks if they wanted it. Now, the other thing is, make sure you sell it, because you could get more for it. Don't just ask friends to come and take what they want. See, we've gotten to the point where we even have to get $5 for the thing. Do you notice lately everything can be bought? Somebody's got a ruler. Oh, it's a ruler. That's $2. And they're going to have you come to their house to pick up a ruler. You're coming, no, Mike. I'm sorry. Folks, we've gone crazy. The sin of greed is causing us to act inhumane with others. Because here's the thing we forget. Material things can be stolen, eaten, or destroyed, burnt up. Material things cannot last. It will ultimately waste away. He says it's hay and stubble. It's going to burn in the end of time. Material things cannot be taken into the next world. Tomorrow, we are celebrating a life well lived. We're celebrating the late queen. And God blessed her immensely to the point of even a rainbow showing up on that day. Now, that's a divine moment. By the way, folks, if I can say something, that made me so happy. And God, you put a rainbow in the sky for the queen. I want everybody who stole the rainbow to remember the rainbow is God's sign of blessing, and you can't have it. Just gave me a moment. I had to say that, Lucy. Give us back the rainbow. It belongs to the Lord. It's a promise of God. But the late queen, as blessed as she was, past tense, that crown that she wore that signified who she is, where is it right now? Talk to me, where is it? See, if they put it inside the coffin, you couldn't bury her anywhere because thieves will always try to get to it. Plus, we couldn't see the significance. So it's all about the significance. It's not about the eternal value. That's why, no, you can't take it with you. There's nothing we have that we're accumulating, that we're acquiring, that we can take with us. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Proverbs 23:5, cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly to the sky like an eagle. Have you ever seen someone who got money, and once they got money, they got greedy? And then they didn't remember anyone who even helped them get there? Did anybody know anybody like that? You gave, you bless, you bought. If you bought groceries, you bought them a bag, but once they got where they were going, they're looking at you like, well, I'm arrived. Anybody been there? But if you live long enough to watch it, what's going to happen? It's going to take wings and fly. You'll be sitting there one day going, I saw this coming. And then you have to say, forgive me, Lord, for gloating. Come on, be real with me today. Let's look at the contrast, because everything Jesus said had a contrast. That was earthly riches. Now he says heavenly riches. It will last forever. It will last into eternity. What are the heavenly riches? Heavenly riches is a blameless life. You can't take that from someone. Becoming a true child of God. The forgiveness of sin. When God has wiped out my sin and I feel that freedom and peace, nobody can take that from me. Wisdom. Oh, God, wisdom, a premier gift. When I have that, I can live with that, die with that. Every decision I make is made in the wisdom of God. Understanding and doing the will of God. Knowing God's purpose for your life and living it. And understanding, this is the key, the true spiritual meaning of life and helping others. Living in the full, abundant, overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know Friday night when we left at this prayer meeting, I mean, we could have just kept going, but we keep to time. But there was such a rejoicing. It was so much goodness. There was just so much. How many Friday night? Come on, talk to the people. Thursday night. It was rich. Wednesday night, it was rich. Tuesday night, it was rich. Every night, we just glowed in prayer. Why? Because we knew who our God is. We know who our God is, and we were holding together. We were so happy, and it was just overflowing. You can't take that. You can't pay for that. You can't buy that. In fact, We got to the end and people were giving some testimonies, and this little five-year-old, how old is she? 5 years old. She ran up. They started singing. She ran and she pulled on me. She goes, I have a testimony. So I'm like, I stopped the music. I said, what's your testimony? She goes, I'm getting a cousin soon. It's coming out. I said to her, it is a miracle. Only God can put it in there. Folks, that's when joy is in the house. That's the intangible. That's the spirit of the Lord. That's the richness that even the five-year-old's going, I got something to say. Glory be to God. See, Christ encourages us in Matthew 6, store up for ourselves heavenly riches, because heavenly riches are incorruptible. Cannot fade, will not corrode, it can't be stolen, it does not lose value, it does not go to the dust, it is everlasting. No one can take away from you your spiritual inheritance and your spiritual storehouse. It's laid up in heaven for you, and its value only increases. Glory be to God. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for what? You. Pure and undefiled. I love this part. Beyond the reach of change and decay. Everybody read this for me. I want you to put I in there. And I have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for me. Pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. That is the blessing of the Lord. Glory be to God. That's why the writer of Luke asked us in Luke 9:25, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you are yourself are lost or destroyed? So folks, we got to be careful. Then the second warning, there's a warning about two kinds of hearts. First was a warning of two kinds of riches, earthly and heavenly. Now it's two kinds of heart. See, the heart can be desperately wicked if not surrendered to God daily. And there's a good heart and there's a bad heart. And both are led by personal choices. The good heart focuses on what we just talked about above, the incorruptible things that lead to eternal life. A healthy heart leads to a healthy eye. A healthy eye means we can see clearly. We focus on good and healthy choices, loving choices, meaningful choices that leads into eternity. A good heart does not grapple for what others have with greed and maliciousness. It does not judge others wrongly or place self above others. Do you know sometimes someone's blessed or they have more? And that's just the goodness of God, the blessing of God. And they're like, oh, I don't even like her anyway. I don't like the woman. It's still the sin of jealousy. We want what we can't handle. Perhaps God gave it to you, you'd sin every bit of your soul. He gives it to who can handle it sometimes. I wish you all to be blessed, though. Let me move on. But it does not make us wealthier if all we do is cause our heart to be greedy and think of others. And the way that we get there is through the eye gate. The eye gives entrance to the mind, and our minds are deceptive. Therefore, to remain healthy, and if we want true treasures, we've got to increase our spiritual storehouse, our spiritual treasures, because a person with a good heart has a singleness of eye. The eye gate is focused on God's will, not just what you see others have or what others are doing. The eye gate is focused on the will of God. The desire is not to increase notoriety for self or fame or fortune, but it's to make God famous. So even when God blesses you, you'll give testimony of the goodness of God in the land of the living. You'll make your boast will be what God has done. There are people who God has blessed you, but you'll remain silent because you don't want nobody know, and definitely not the church. Second Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So Jesus points out, the good heart fixes its gaze on Christ. Thanksgiving. We're going to give God thanks in every way. We're going to give to others, but we're also going to give to the kingdom of God. There are many who do not even tithe. And we're going to look at that principle where God gives us 90% to do everything we want and just says, put 10% in the storehouse. And we're like, no, that's too much. So Jesus points out there's a bad heart. And the bad heart in the life of the believer comes because of a bad eye. What is a bad eye? A bad eye is when you can't see with clarity, when you can't see straight, when everything you see is blurry, it's foggy, it's dark, it's just seeing things in a direction that leads to a negative spiral. The bad eye disorients and discourages from true happiness. And Jesus said, a bad heart sets its vision on that which is corruptible, perishable, deteriorating, and has no eternal future. And so the person who has a bad heart has a bad eye. You got to get this morning. It's not the heart it starts from the eye. I see it, I want it. I see others with it, I want it. The competitiveness, going back again to when you see people bidding on things. When someone bids $1 billion on something, it's not because they have a good heart. It's because they've got a bad eye. They see it, and they see others wanting it, and they're like, no, I don't want them to get it. I want people to see that I got it. And so the heart begins to be corrupt because the eye is leading them down a spiraling a staircase that leads them to, I have got to be the only one who can be seen as being at the top of this game. And life then begins to be a game where they begin to take people and put them in positions. Meanwhile, people will be starving in many nations of the world. People that are displaced right now, refugees are running, and they would never give anything, or if they do, it's a pittance. I gotta hurry up. One of my biggest pet peeves was whenever there is some tragedy and a singer who can give up $1 billion or $1 million, just write off $1 million, will sing and tell you to pay for the record or pay for the tune. And I'm like, why don't you just give the money? You already got, I can give mine, you give yours. But see, we're always trying to get others to do it by showing them who we are. And that's a whole bad eye leads to bad heart. Can you talk to yourself this morning? If you're not seeing with clarity, your heart will not work with purity. Amen? So the person begins to be consumed with covetousness. They can never have enough. With unhappiness, they're sad if someone becomes greater than them. With apprehensiveness, someone's out to get me. Everybody wants to get me. With fearfulness, they feel that they're poor if they lose a dime. So they hoard an overabundance, and it's a downward spiral. Matthew 6:23, this is part of our passage. It says, but when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Folks, my message comes out of this. Just pause on it for a minute. Just pause and read it. When your eye, which is the gate to your soul, is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. But the sadness, Jesus says, is if you think you have light when you're actually in darkness. He says, now this is the part that's critical. How deep is the darkness that you can't even tell you're in darkness? See, a bad heart leaves the person insecure, grasping for more, willing to compromise, willing to steal, willing to destroy. People don't just start out wicked, they start out small. They're consumed. And if the believer must make a decision, conscious decision, Lord, I want a good heart, so help me to have a good eye, to see things that will draw me closer to the treasures of heaven, to see the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom things that you're doing in my life and others' life. Such a person stands on the word of God and reminds themselves that we are called to, as Colossians 3:2, to set our minds on things above and not on earthly things. I'm called to set my mind on things above, not on earthly things. And the last one, the last two that Jesus put, and it's very short, I'm closing with this in a moment. It's a choice between two kinds of master. Two kinds of master. God or money. And the choice is clear. We either serve God or we serve money. It's called the God of Mammon. Our hearts are either focused on God or on the world. We're either focused on spiritual wealth or earthly wealth. Because the eye gate determines the heart thought, and the heart thought determines the action. Folks, I want my life's value to be about what God wants me. So here's the question. Which one of these two sets are you exhibiting? It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. Are you treasuring the word of God so much that you're living by the word? Remember, God promises several things to those who serve him. He promises us, folks, so we don't have to sweat. Matthew 6:33, all the necessities of life. That sermon is yet to come. He promises in Philippians 4:6-7, freedom from anxiety. He promises in Hebrews 13:5, joy and contentment. He promises in John 10:10, full, abundant, rich, eternal life. So my question is, earthly treasure, heavenly treasure? Good heart, bad heart? Which master? Which master are you serving? God? Because if I'm serving him, I live it out by his word. Mammon, then I live by the standards of the world. What my eye gate sees, what my eye gate wants, what everybody else has, I must have. Or am I desiring, God, give me all the spiritual gifts on high. Fill me with your spiritual gifts, that at the end of time, my richness, my wealth will be in who I am in Christ in God. Can I hear an amen this morning? Glory to God. Just bow your heads with me. Father, I have in my own simple way communicated this passage to the best of my ability. What I fail to communicate, Holy Spirit, speak it into each person here and online, because you care for us so much that you will not allow the world to corrupt and destroy us. But what you're calling us to is a richer life in Christ in God. So Father God, help us to exhibit, not just when we're dead, but in the land of the living, so the next generation can see it, the values that show that our treasures are treasures in heaven. Oh God, help us. I pray for every person here, oh God, by your power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. God sees hearts. Oh God, put yourself on the eye gate, so the eye gate will change, so the heart intent will change, so the action and behavior will change. I ask this, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me online, wherever you are right now, those that are streaming live. I want everyone to make an altar. If you're a senior, just stay seated in your seat. If you're able-bodied, I want you to kneel for a couple of minutes. See, if I ask for a public altar today and ask you to confess openly if you're consumed by earthly things, it would be difficult for you to answer. But because God knows the heart, and he knows the secret of the heart, and he knows the focus of the eye gate, would you just kneel down for 2 minutes? We'll time it. And would you just pray to the Lord and ask him, God, change my eye gate. God, change my eye gate so the heart will change. God, change me so I will live for the treasures of heaven, not for the treasures of earth. Would you all over this place pray it personally? Just pray it personally. Such a good shot. Holy Spirit, would you just pray it? Go open your mouth and just pray it. Just pray it, everybody. It's your personal altar this morning. It's your personal altar right now. It's 11:29. I'm stopping at 11:31. Just play softly on the piano for me, because people need to spend this time and have a personal altar to the Lord. God, fix the eye gate. Fix my personal eye gate. I want to see. Young people, ask it, because all you've seen is the lure of the world, the lure of wealth and the lure of prosperity. That's all you've been shown, young people. This world is rigged that way, but the word of God refutes that and charges us to see the effects of spiritual life that will give us all the blessings. Now, ask the Lord, God, turn it around for me. Turn it around, God. Take the salve from heaven and put it on my eyes. God, heal my mind, heal my soul. Heal everything in me, that I will not allow the world to grab me. That when I see it on television in different places, I will not be lured by it. That when the mongrels of the world are being elevated, I will elevate the simple person whose heart is after God. Now it's 11:31. Stay down for a minute. Now begin to ask God. God, bless me to bless others. Ask him. God, bless me to bless others. Ask the Lord. If you're going to do it, then ask God, bless me. God, bless me to bless others. Bless me to be a blessing. God, help me, oh God, that I will not live just for earthly things, but my rewards will be in heaven. That the kingdom of heaven will advance because of who I am. That I will think of the missionaries, think of the mission field, think of the poor among us. That, God, I will not allow people to be despised and downtrodden while I try to show myself strong. strong. God, forgive me and deliver me. Don't let the devil destroy me with the God of Mammon being my gateway. But in the name of Jesus, I open up my gates to the kingdom of heaven. And I say, God, use me for your glory. God, do something supernatural in our lives that we will make the difference in this society, that there'll be no Ananias and Sapphira among us, but instead the spirit of Barnabas will rest on all of us, and the blessing of the Lord will overflow us, and the favor of God will rest upon us. I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Now, would you just say thank you, everybody? Just begin to pray a thank you. God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for my, thank him for the things you have now. Begin to name it. Thank you for my home. God, thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for my vehicle. Thank you, Lord God, for my job. Thank you, Lord God, for the clothes on my back. Thank you for peace of mind. Thank you, Lord God, for every spiritual blessing. Now help me, oh God, to live it differently for the sake of others in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.